Tonight's topic is Inyana Diyoma. Today was Yom HaShoah, Yom HaShoah is obviously the day that's set aside to commemorate the Holocaust and all of the horrible, horrible things that were done to Klal Yisrael during the Holocaust. So I thought tonight would be an opportune time to discuss whether there should be a Yom HaShoah. We've discussed it in passing in the past, but never really thoroughly. So I want to have a nice, reasonably thorough discussion regarding whether it's appropriate to have a separate Yom HaShoah. And then, if we have time at the end, to in honor of Yom HaShoah, and in order to commemorate the Holocaust and to commemorate specifically the Mesiras Nefesh of many Jews during the Holocaust and the strength and the courage of many Jews during the Holocaust, if we have time at the end to maybe learn through a couple of tshuvos from the Sefer Shalos Tshuvos Mimamakim, which of course is Rav Ephraim Ashri, who is the Rav of the Kovna Ghetto, who wrote responsa to questions that were asked in the Kovna Ghetto, with all the horribly tragic circumstances that people were faced with. They were still asking shilos, and the shilos are absolutely heartbreaking. But we'll see if there's time at the end. We'll get to that. First, let's just discuss whether or not there should be a Yom HaShoah. Now, before I say anything in terms of whether yes or no, we have to be very clear. The question is not whether the Holocaust was significant enough to demand its own day. If anything, it was significant enough to demand our attention on way more than one day out of the year. The significance of the Holocaust and the magnitude of the Holocaust is something that's absolutely undebatable. The question is, what's the best way to commemorate it? That it must be commemorated, I don't think anybody argues. And this is from right to left, anyone in the Jewish community, in the Jewish world, would ever argue. How it is best commemorated is the topic of discussion tonight. Now, I'm going to use, to give credit where credit is due, I got the source material for this shiur from an essay that was written by Rabbi Chaim Jachter from, I believe he lives in Teaneck. He's a Rebbe in TABC, a Dayan in one of the Batei Din out in New Jersey. Very, very big Talmud Chacham, prolific writer. I own many of his books. He writes very beautifully. He writes halacha essays in English, and he does it about as good as anybody does. So most of the source material came from him. Give credit where credit is due. Okay, so let's get started. First of all, in order to understand where we're coming from, we have to just to throw out some basic information. You might know that Rav Soloveitchik held that there shouldn't be a Yom HaShoah, that that it should be commemorated on Tisha B'Av. Rav Moshe Feinstein held there shouldn't be a Yom HaShoah. Now, what I want to try to discuss and try to work toward is figuring out how that makes any sense. Meaning, we know there have been other fast days for other tragedies that occurred in our history, and no one had a problem with it. What this is something that's of greater magnitude than anything else that's ever occurred. Why is it that there shouldn't be a Yom HaShoah? Why should it be lopped in together with everything else on Tisha B'Av? What would be the logic for such an approach? So I want to go through, as Rabbi Jachter does, just understanding how fast days work, understanding all the fast days, and understanding the relationship between Tisha B'Av and the other fast days, and the relationship between Tisha B'Av and history, and then I think we'll be able to understand a lot more. If you look at the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, which is source number one, the Gemara, on the first line of Gemara, in the second paragraph there, in source number one, Darshan's a pasuk. The pasuk in Zechariah Perches says, Ko amar Hashem Tzvakos, Tzoma Ravi, Vitzoma Chamishi, Vitzoma Shvi, Vitzoma Asiri, Yia Lebeis Yehuda, Lesasim Lesimcha. There are a whole bunch of fast days that are going to be, for Klal Yisrael, days of Sason and Simcha. So frek the Gemara Kasha, wait a second. Kari Luhu Tzom, Vikari Luhu Sason Vesimcha. On the one hand, you called it a fast day. On the other hand, you called it a day of Sason of Simcha, a day of rejoicing, a day of happiness. So how does that make any sense? Now, the Aruch Lanai already asked the question, and other Achronim ask, what do you mean, how does it make any sense? That's the whole point of the Pasuk. The point of the Pasuk is, that which was previously a fast day will now be the Sason of Simcha. But the Achronim point out that the phrasing of the Pasuk could have been done a little bit better. You could have said, those Yamim will be the Sason of Simcha, but it sounds like the Tzom itself is is l'sasa l'simcha. So it sounds like a more direct contradiction. So says the Gemara, one answer is, bizman shiyeh shalom, when we're living in peace, you l'sasa l'simcha. That will be a great joy and rejoicing. Ein shalom, but when we're not living in peace, tzom, then we're going to have to fast on these fast days. Amar Rav Papa says, no, a little bit different. Hachi kamar. Bizman shiyeh shalom, when we're living in peace, yil asasim el simcha. Happiness, rejoicing. Yesh mad, when we're living in destruction and decrees against us and we're living through real trouble, tzom, then we absolutely have a chiyuv to fast on all these fast days. Ein shmad v'ein shalom, if we have neither shmad nor shalom, it's parav, we're not, we don't have geula, but we don't have suffering to any great extent, like our condition now, let's say, ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin. Then we have the option, we can fast or we can not fast, whichever one we want. Fret the Gemara, ihachi tisha b'av nami. So then why don't we have an option of fasting on Tisha B'Av or not fasting on Tisha B'Av? Why is it only the other fast days that are optional, but Tisha B'Av is mandatory? Shouldn't it be like all the rest? Amra Papa, shiny Tisha B'Av, hol v'huch b'lu bot saros. Tisha B'Av is worse, because Tisha B'Av had so many tsaros that the Tisha B'Av can never be optional. So apparently the Gemara tells us there are these three distinct time periods, and it can change from one to the other very quickly, where when you're in a time of peace, when you're in happy times, everything's great, then you don't have to fast at all during the other fast days. In times of Gzeres Malchus, absolutely you need to fast all the fast days. When it's neither, when it's a part of time, everything's optional. Tisha B'Av is always a chiyuv. Now, why is Tisha B'Av different than all of the fast days? Why is it different than Shavuos or B'Tammuz? So if you look in the Gemara, in Meseches Tainus, Daf Chavav, which is source number 3, Chamisha Dvarim Yiru Es Havaseinu B'Shavuos or B'Tammuz. The Gemara says 5 things happened in Shavuos or B'Tammuz, V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. And 5 things happened on Tisha B'Av. B'Shavuos or B'Tammuz, V'Shtabru Aluchos, U'Batala Tamid, V'Huvka Eir, V'Sarav HaPustamus Es HaTorah, V'Hemetzel B'Heichal. 5 terrible tragedies happened on Shavuos or B'Tammuz. The luchos were broken, the Karban Tamid was stopped. Karban Tamid is a symbol of consistency in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a symbol of the fact that we are constantly there. We have a constant presence in the Beis HaMikdash. And when we couldn't bring the Karban Tamid anymore, it showed that our presence was waning. V'hufka ha'ir, and the city was sieged on besieged on Shavuos or B'Tammuz, and Apostamus burnt the Torah, and he was hemet selim b'heichal. He put an avod zara in the heichal. What happened on Tisha B'Av? B'Tisha B'Av nigzal avaseinu shleichnus ula aretz. The Meraglim was on Tisha B'Av, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atam b'chisem b'chiel shalchina mani kaveh lechem b'chiel ledoros. You're crying for no reason, I'll give you a reason to cry. Right? When Klal Yisrael cries over hearing what the Meraglim have to say about Eretz Yisrael. V'charef habayis parishona u'bashniya. First Beis HaMikdash and second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed. V'nilka da Beitar, and Beitar, v'nechresh ha'ir, and the city was plowed over. So you have the capture of Beitar and the plowing over of the city. So you have five tragedies on Tisha B'Av as well. Now, that's what sets Tisha B'Av apart. Now, all the Rishonim deal with, bottom line is, though, Tisha B'Av and Shavuos or B'Tammuz are the same then. They both have 5. It's 5 against 5. Why should Tisha B'Av be more serious than Shavuos or B'Tammuz? Apparently it is. Shavuos or B'Tammuz, it becomes optional in times when there's no government decrees against us. Shavuos or B'Tammuz becomes a day of simcha when everything's great. Tisha B'Av, we don't have that. Tisha B'Av, we always have to fast. So why is Tisha B'Av worse? So this is what all the Rishonim deal with. If you look at Tosfos, Tosfos says, V'yom Shavuos or B'Tammuz nami ira chamisha dvarim. Even though we say by Tisha B'Av it's worse because huch bulu bo at tsaros, and we know by Shavuos or B'Tammuz you have the same amount of tsaros. If you're counting, it's the same number of tsaros. Like the Gemara says in Tainus, avol churban beis hamikdash tkifa tuva. Says Tosfos, yeah, it's the same amount of tsaros, but look at what's on that list. On Tisha B'Av you have the churban beis hamikdash first time, and the second time. Now that's severe. That's pretty strong. You're talking about something that bad, something of that magnitude, that's what puts Tisha B'Av over the top. You go on, Tosfos says, V'od, lo dami l'Tisha B'Av d'tzara achas huch b'lobo. Tisha B'Av is worse because the same tzara happened twice. Whereas Shavuos or B'Tammuz were 5 independent events, Tisha B'Av is worse because the same thing happened twice. Of the 5, 2 of them are the same. Why does that matter, that 2 of them are the same? Why does that make it worse? The same thing happened twice. I would have thought that Adrab, maybe it makes it better. Maybe the two are really one, so it's really only four. So why does that make it worse that the same thing happened twice? It's compounded, yeah. So I think that the idea is that sets the trend. That's what Tisha B'Av is really all about. Being Tisha B'Av is about the fact that things will keep on happening on Tisha B'Av, and that you'll see the same tzara will come back, because Tisha B'Av is not about five blips on the screen of Jewish history. It's not about things that happened here and there. No, it just happened to be. No, it's a trend. Tisha B'Av is about a trend of persecution. It's about a trend of suffering. And that's what Tisha B'Av is really, that's the essence of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av allows us to appreciate the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is of son el Yaakov. It allows us to appreciate that that's a reality of history, and it's not something that just happened to be, by coincidence, you know, it happened to be a few different times, and it's a bunch of individual events that occurred. Absolutely not. It's a trend, and it has to be seen as such. Anyway, but that's how Tosfos understands why Tisha B'Av is in fact worse than Shavasar B'Tammuz. Now the Turi Evan writes, if you look in source number 5, Hol v'huchblu ba tzaros, that Tisha B'Av is worse, the Gemara said, because the tzaros were doubled over. Pirshu Tosfos piyut zayin b'Tammuz nami irach habisha devarim. So he quotes Tosfos that in Shavasar B'Tammuz you also had five things, but the Chorban Beis HaMikdash is either stronger or because it happened twice. Says the Turi Evan, which of those two answers is better? Well, he says, look at what the Gemara said about Tisha B'Av. The Gemara said what sets Tisha B'Av apart from Shavasar B'Tammuz is Huchbala Bo Hatzaros, from Lashon of Kefel, that it happened double. Which of Tosfos' two explanations fits better with the Lashon of the Gemara? Again, explanation number one of Tosfos was that the Tzaros were of greater magnitude, and explanation number two was that they were repeated. So says the Turi Evan, Lishna de Huchbala Bo Tzaros, Lo Mashmal Tzara Achas to Tkifi Tuva, Elvade Pirush Be Zikr. Huchbla means that what sets Tisha B'Av apart is the doubling of the tzaros. The fact that it was doubled over. The fact that the same thing happened twice. He says that second pshat of Tosfos fits the lashon of the Gemara much, much better, which is an important ha'ara. And I think that's exactly the point. That second pshat of Tosfos is really symbolic of what Tisha B'Av is really all about. Now, it should be noted, the Gemara doesn't try to distinguish between Tisha B'Av and the other fast days by saying Huchbala Bo Hatzaros. It only distinguishes between Tisha B'Av and Shavasar B'Tammuz in that way, which is a little bit, well, that's not entirely true. The Gemara is, what the Gemara said was, why is it, meaning when the Gemara said, why is it that by Tisha B'Av we always fast as opposed to all the other fast days, including Shavasar B'Tammuz, and it says Huchbala Bo Hatzaros. And then we have another Gemara that tells us that it's the same quantity of events that occurred on Shavasar B'Tammuz and on Tisha B'Av. So what we have to realize is, and the Pnei Yeshua points out, is that when you compare Tisha B'Av to every other fast day besides Shavasar B'Tammuz, it's a davar pashut why Tisha B'Av is more intense. It's because just look at the numbers. Look at the amount of things that happened. So Huchbala Bo Hatzaros is really a lashon. He's just trying to be miyashev the Turi Evan's ha'ara, that Huchbala sounds like more things happened. So he says Huchbala Bo Hatzaros is really a lashon that tries to compare Tisha B'Av with every other fast day. Now, to deal with the fact that it also has to be different than Shavasar B'Tammuz, so that's where you come on to Tosfos' answers. That it has to be, but the lashon of repetition of tzaros really just explains why Tisha B'Av is different than all the other fast days, namely that it's not just one tzara, it's multiple tzaros that occurred. The Rashba explains the difference between Tisha B'Av and Shavasar B'Tammuz, even though they both had five. Says the Rashba, Tammuz had five tzaros. They weren't all on Shiva Asar. They weren't all on the 17th day of Tammuz. Tisha B'Av, Huchbala, the keyword is not Huchbala, the keyword is Bo. Huchbala Bo had tzaros. The tzaros happened over and over again on that day, Bo Bayom. They kept on occurring. So if the tzaros kept on occurring on that day, so that's why Tisha B'Av is so much worse. Bottom line is, we see that Tisha B'Av stands out above all the other fast days. Apparently, it is the of all rabbinic fast days, Tisha B'Av is the mother of all rabbinic fast days. It is the most severe of all rabbinic fast days. It's the one that's shayach in all times, even when others are in Shaykh, and apparently the source of its severity is the fact that either the Churbanos were so serious, were events of such magnitude, or more likely, at least according to the Torah, even more likely, the second answer of Tosos, because Tisha B'Av is about repetitions in history. All the other fast days are things that also can only be appreciated in the context of Tisha B'Av. When you understand that there's a Tisha B'Av, that there's a Jewish history, and there's a history of persecution, that there's a history of trouble, and a history of tsaros, then you'll see it doesn't just happen to be at some Gedalia and happen to be at Asar B'Teves. They're all outgrowths of a Tisha B'Av. They're all outgrowths of a Jewish destiny and a Jewish history, and that's how they're meant to be viewed. Now, the Magen Mishnah writes that it happens to be, if nowadays we're not living in time where the government, thank God, the American government doesn't have decrees aimed against the Jewish people, so it would turn out, according to the Gemara that we read before, Tisha B'Av is mandatory, all the others are only rishus, they're really only optional. So the Magen Mishnah says, yeah, they're only optional, but still, hare va'achshav nagu akol k'moshe kasav rabenu v'arein chov al kol Yisrael achi even beis hamikdash. Our minhag is to treat them like they're mandatory, even though they're optional. But in reality, they're only optional. Now, because they're only optional in reality, that's why we're so much more makel when it comes to allowing someone to break their fast, right? When it comes to the other fast days versus Tisha B'Av, because really, me'ikar adin, it's a reshus. It's not a chiyuv at all. Only Tisha B'Av is chiyuv. Now, what's interesting, Ha'ara, though, Ramban points out that let's say you're in a time where it is a chiyuv. The Gemara said there are times that the other fast days are a chiyuv, when it's a time that there are decrees against the Jewish people. Then the other fast days do become a chiyuv. So let's say you're living in such a time where it is a chiyuv. So says the Ramban, then it has all the stringencies of Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to bathe. You're not allowed to do all the things you're not allowed to do in Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to do on those other fast days if it ever becomes a chiyuv. Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav, if you take a look in source number 10, Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav, Ayin bir agra shevim eram band, me ikar takarnas ha-neviyim, kol elu atainios hayu asurim bekol chamesh inuyim. That really, those fast days also have chamesh inuyim. V'leilo kiyomo, and you have to start the night before, like you do on Tisha B'Av, by all the other fast days, when it's a chiyuv. It's only because nowadays we only do it because we want to do it. It's not really a chiyuv. That's why we're so mekel. So those who wanted to observe these fast days never wanted to observe all those chumras of the chamesh inuyim and starting the night before. But va'amar b'zeh rabenu, Rav Salvechik pointed out, shebishnos hashoah hayu gedolim ke'ela be'Europa, that there were gedolei Torah in Europe, shayu sevurim da'azlo haya davar tali b'ratzu. That they held that living through the Holocaust, living through what was going on in Europe at the time, it wasn't optional to fast the other fast days anymore. You talk about times of government decrees, it becomes a chiyuv, it became a chiyuv. And therefore, I'll show you, mechuyav ma'kol midina l'sanos midivrei kabbalah. They felt that they had to fast min adin. Shayu az gzeros naros negra yehudim. There were horrible gzeros. And therefore, lefichach nagu b'kol hatanios, and halacha l'maisa, they held that they on all other fast days, on some Gedalia, on Asar B'Teves, on all the little ones, all the little fast days, they observed all the laws of Tisha B'Av, because that's what the Gemara says. When it's a time of gzeiros against Klal Yisrael, then it's not optional. Then we have to observe it like it's meant to be observed with all the chamesh inuyim. There might be room to argue if, God forbid, there's ever a Palestinian state that has any control over Jewish people. Right, that we know that again we're going to be in a situation, God forbid, in Eretz Yisrael where Jews may have to observe these fast days with all of the chumras of the fast days. Now, one other ha'ara, and then we'll come back to Yom HaShoah. The other ha'ara is, so on Tisha B'Av, one of the things that made Tisha B'Av so terrible is the fact that the Beis Hamikdash was not just destroyed once, but twice. Right, during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, what did they do on Tisha B'Av? Did they fast? Meaning it was still the anniversary of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. During the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, did they fast? Did they celebrate? Right, we said that fast days in general, when you have Geula, you're supposed to celebrate, right? It's going to be times of Sasan and Simcha. So what did they do during the time? What would you think of Misvara during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash? How would you treat a day like Tisha B'Av? You know,
Well, that wasn't the only reason to participate. The korban was
True, you had the chetam meraglim also, and good, and you had good. Yet you did have other things that were, but still, primarily, one would imagine Tisha B'Av was really about the korban. So the okay, good. So these are the svaras. Says the Ritva in source number 11. He says you have to say that during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash,
they didn't
fast, and he says, look. The fast day didn't go away. It was still there. It was just dormant. You weren't observing it, but it was still there because they knew that it was going to come back. Meaning they didn't believe that the second Beis Hamikdash was the final Beis Hamikdash. They realized that there was going to be an end to it, and realizing that there was going to be an end to it, so they didn't observe the fast day, but they weren't totally mevatel it. So he says, if you look in the four lines from the bottom of that Ritva, Ubinyan Bayasheni lo chashvulu kulei hayd lavi nigdar aperetz harishon, it didn't really totally rebuild everything that was missing from the first Beis Hamikdash. We know that the Bayis harishon had many things that the second Beis Hamikdash didn't have, least of all the Aron, which wasn't even present in the Kodesh HaKadashim during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. Ulefichach lo akru gzeirasan legamri. And therefore they didn't totally uproot their gzeira. Elo amru, rather they said, ki bizman sheyesh shalom, kolomar sheyisrael shruin alad masan Beis HaMikdash kayam. But when we have shalom, meaning definition of shalom, Jews living in Israel with the Beis HaMikdash, yu l'sasun l'simcha, they'll celebrate that day. So it didn't go away. They knew it was coming back. But while the Beis for those 400 some odd years, while the Beis HaMikdash was around, they did celebrate. They made shalom, because they had shalom, but if there's no shalom, Shabbos HaMikdash Chara, V'yesh Shemad al Yisrael, D'ika Tarti L'Greyusa, when there's no shalom and there's Shemad, Yud Som Gomer, M'gzeres Nevi'im Rishonim. V'yem main shalom v'gam main Shemad, Yeh Tavar Tali Baratzon Yisrael, Ratzu Bezin Mesan, Lo Ratzu Yen Mesan Klal. That's by the other fast days. But the point is, they did not observe Tisha B'Av during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Ritva makes a lot of sense. How are you going to mourn the Churban Abayis when you have a Beis HaMikdash standing right there? It seems ridiculous to mourn the Churban Abayis. Look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tainios, Perikei Halachi Yotet. I'm sorry, the Rambam in Perishim Shnayis, Mesechus Rosh Hashanah, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, says the Rambam, we're not going to read the whole thing. The Rambam writes, going the three lines before the end of the Rambam, but some are view Shivasa Batamas Vishamas Khodish Rv, but some are Mishi Tishbab Shubakhodashachamishi, he identifies each of the Tsamos. Then he goes on to say, last line, Voyumis Anin Tishabav Afal P Shu Masularitsonam Vipnesha Huchblubot Saros Kemoshe Isbar Batanios, that even during the time that the Beis HaMikdash was around, they would still fast on Tishabav because of all the many tsaros that they had in Tishabav. The Rambam's a little bit difficult. Why would they fast on Tisha B'Av when they had a Beis HaMikdash? It seems a little bit strange. So it seems to be what you were saying before. What Eli was saying was that, well, there were other tzaros. It wasn't only about the Churban HaBayis. But the Rambam acknowledges that in the time of Geula, there's not going to be a reason to fast on Tisha B'Av, even though there were many tzaros. Meaning, when we have the third Beis HaMikdash, Shemir Hashem Bekarov, right? So are we going to fast on Tisha B'Av anymore? So you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Taniyos, says the Rambam, Kol atzamos ha'elu asidim libat li mos ha'mashiach, v'lo od el Hashem asidim li'os yom tovim, yimeisos v'simcha. And he quotes the Pasuk, right? All of the fast days, including Tisha B'Av, they're all going to be sasam v'simcha. They're all going to be days of celebration. They're all going to be gone. They're all going to be yom tovim. Why is the Geula, the final Geula, Why over there will we be able to forget about Tisha B'Av, but by the second Beis HaMikdash we couldn't forget about Tisha B'Av. We were still fasting on Tisha B'Av. So the way Rabbi Jachter expresses this is, if you understand fully what Tisha B'Av is all about, the Rambam makes perfect sense, and Rav Soloveitchik makes perfect sense, and Rav Moshe makes perfect sense. Tisha B'Av is not about the Churban HaBayis alone. Tisha B'Av is about, as we said, and as Tosos said so poignantly, it's about a trend in Jewish history. When you take a tragedy and divorce it from Tisha B'Av and give it its own day, what you're essentially doing is saying, yes, this was something that was its own independent event. And you can't do that. It doesn't, people's main taina with wanting to have a separate day for remembering the Holocaust is that it would cheapen the Holocaust to throw it in with other tragedies. But the argument is that, adrabba, it's just the opposite. It would cheapen the Holocaust to suggest that the Holocaust was a one-time event, that it was something that just happened out of nowhere and, you know, has nothing to do with the rest of Jewish history. If you want to really understand it, understand that it's the culmination of thousands of years of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai Yisrael L'Yaakov. It's the culmination of inquisitions and of massacres and of all sorts of persecution that we've had over many, many years throughout the centuries, and that's, and it's another reflection, the most, the reflection of the greatest magnitude of all of that hatred that's been built up against Klal Yisrael over all those years. It doesn't cheapen Yom HaShoah, to, the Holocaust rather, to put it on the same day as Tisha B'Av. It cheapens it to take it out of its context. If you look in Nefesh HaRav, source number 14, Rav Schechter explaining the position of Rav Soloveitchik, Mishnos HaShoah Ve'elach, from the times of the Holocaust on, Helu Kama Pamim Esatzah, Likva Yom Evel Meyuchad L'chor Ben Europa. They decided they wanted to make a day of Avelus for the Holocaust. V'tamer ha'isa tshuvas Rabbeinu al pimash ha'nachno omrim b'kino l'tisha b'av. And Rav Soloveitchik would always respond, based on what it says in one of the kinos of Tisha B'av, v'chi ein lahosif moed shever v'taveira v'ein lahaktim zulasi la'achra tachas kenayom. That the kino in Tisha B'av that we all read says that we don't add another day of mourning. When another reason for mourning comes up, we add that reason to Tisha B'Av. If you read through the kinos on Tisha B'Av, how many of them are actually about the Beis HaMikdash? Not that many. There are a lot of kinos on Tisha B'Av that we say that have nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because Tisha B'Av isn't only about the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's go back and explain the Rambam. Why were they still observing Tisha B'Av during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash? Because kol zman that we don't have full geula, any tzara that happens to Klal Yisrael, not only the tzara of the Chorban Abayis, any tzara that happens to Klal Yisrael belongs on Tisha B'Av. And we need a Tisha B'Av to express that. When we have a Geula Shlema and we're not going to have tzaros, it's going to be Garze Evim Keves, and everything's going to be okay, and we're not going to have those tzaros, we're not going to have Shibud Malchios to worry about, so then we're not going to need a Tisha B'Av anymore. But so long as the potential for tzara still exists, even if we have a mikdash in our midst, so long as the potential for tzara still exists, we're still going to have a Tisha B'Av. And that's similar to Rav Moshe Feinstein's stance. Rav Moshe was asked also about Yom HaShoah. Just parenthetically, Rabbi Jachter writes in his article that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said that Rav Soloveitchik spoke to Menachem Begin once about Yom HaShoah, and he had convinced him to make it on Tisha B'Av, meaning to not make it a separate day. And Begin went back to Eretz Yisrael and he tried to convince the Knesset, I guess, that was a sound decision and that's what should be done. Begin and the Begin family and Soloveitchik family went back generations. Menachem Begin's father was the shamish, or grandfather, was the shamish by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. So they had a relationship going back some time, and he tried to convince the Knesset, but he was unsuccessful for the very logical reason that they said, look, all the kids are out of school in the middle of the summer on Tisha B'Av. How are we going to educate the next generation about the Holocaust if we make the day that we remember the Holocaust the day when the kids aren't in school? So although theoretically, from a halachic perspective, it seems that we shouldn't forget the Holocaust on Tisha B'Av and the main day of Avelus should be on Tisha B'Av, it does make sense to a great extent that there should be some day during the school year where all schools set aside to educate about the Holocaust. It shouldn't only be a day. Schools should have Holocaust courses. It should be a class that you take through a semester or whatever, right? But it does make sense. I just tell you from an educational point of view, just in yeshiva today, we wouldn't otherwise be thinking about it. And having a day where we're going to set aside to think about it, maybe not to be misabel on it, that's for Tisha B'Av. And we shouldn't say, let's not deal with it on Tisha B'Av because we already dealt with it on Yom HaShoah. No, Tisha B'Av is for dealing with it. But it does make sense, halacha notwithstanding, but it does make sense that we should have some way, some framework to educate about the Holocaust. We had a speaker in Yeshiva today, And it was very impactful. It was very impactful. Just it was a lesson in Emuna, a lesson in what it means to be a Jew. It was a lesson in so many things, and it's a lesson that needs to be taught. And if you save it for the summer, they were right. If you save it for the summer, the lesson is likely not to be taught. But as adults, we should realize that the real day of Avelos, the real day of mourning, the real day of trying to picture it and reliving it and suffering through it and crying over it, that's really during the summer. That's not, meaning the way many observe Yom HaShoah is with candlelighting ceremonies and crying and sitting on the floor. I don't think we should do Yom HaShoah like that. That should be Tisha B'Av. Yom HaShoah should be educational, should be learning about what happened. Inspirational also, but educational, learning about what happened, learning about the facts, about what the story was. Anyway, Rav Moshe was asked about Yom HaShoah, and Rav Moshe also is very similar to Rav Soloveitchik in source number 15. He writes, "Dvara gzeru shabavonaseinu rab nergu erech asara pa'amim shishim ribo." He says you have 10 times shishim ribo that were killed al yidei harasham Hitler v'chaver v'imach shemam, meaning 6 million Jews nebuch. Shemeharoy harei haya tzorech eze yom kavu l'tainus l'tfila, that it would seem that that's worthy of a day of fasting and a day of davening. So malz kvodo al shadayin lo nasa klum, shetama malz kvodo al shadayin lo nasa klum. Whoever the tshuva was to, I don't have it printed here, but whoever the tshuva was to said he doesn't understand how we could have just sat by and not done anything. So hine bekinos shekol Yisrael omer b'Tisha B'Av. Rav Moshe says the same thing. Rav Soloveitchik said, if you look at the kinos, we say on Tisha B'Av mefura shama shelo tiknu yom yuchal l'tainus l'b'chiyal gzeros masal tzlav. We don't make separate days for horrible gzeros that were made against Klal Yisrael. Why? Because again, it's all included in that day of kina and bechi, in that day of Tisha B'Av. I affect Rav Moshe, but there were a lot of other days that we did make fast days for, a lot of other events that they did make fast days and commemoration days for. If you look in the second paragraph, he has to address, V'lo dami l'gzeros d'shnas he'alafim tach v'tat, al yidei Chmelnitsky, Rosh HaKazakhan, shenergu b'Ukrainia v'chelech mipolin, shekavu sham yom tainis v'amir slichos l'ashram b'sivan. 20th day of Sivan is the day that they commemorated tach v'tat. Right? That was a massacre. That was a terrible thing to have in Jewish people, and it wasn't on Tisha B'Av. So why not? So he says, Mishum Shloises Ugzera Klalis Kigzeris Hagolis Vachurban Elo Hayu Rak Bechelik Medina Achas. He says, whenever it's limited to a certain geographical location, and a limited geographical location, this is a hard chilik to make, because what do you define as limited? He said, when it's part of a country that goes through something like that, so that's a local tzara. When it's a Klal Yisrael Tzara, then we have to put it on Tisha B'Av. All Klal Yisrael Tzaros go on Tisha B'Av. When there's a local Tzara, so that community should have a day of fasting to commemorate the local Tzara that they had.
So similar. We have some Gedalian, we have some Esther.
Right, those are considered communal. Those are, right, oh, meaning why weren't they established on
Tisha B'Av?
Yeah. Good kasha. I don't know. Does he deal with it? I don't know. And he goes on to say, "V'gam gzer zu d'shnas tach v'tat lo haisa al de hamalchios umel lo nimshcha me'atzim agolus v'churban." He says it also wasn't through the malchios that caused tach v'tat. So therefore, it's not a direct result of galus. Because there will always be anti-Semites. There might always be anti-Semites who want to kill us. During the second Beis Hamikdash, there could have been people attacking us from all over the place. It just wasn't the Malchus that was attacking us. So Tisha B'Av is for things when the governments are after us. Elohai Saladei Hamordim Ba'Malchus. Tach V'Tat was those who were rebelling against the government. It wasn't the government itself. So it doesn't really relate directly to that which were in Galus. So he's coming up with all sorts of chilukim between the Holocaust and the more communal sufferings versus Tach V'Tat and the more either regional or non-government sponsored persecutions, so things of that nature, and that in that way he's mechalik. Now there are other tragedies also, and we have pointed out in the past. Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Kuf Pei writes that there was a minhag to fast on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, because that's when they burnt the wagon loads of Svarim right? And you have to realize burning wagon loads of svarim is something that's not a simple thing. They didn't have a printing press, so that was you, it was basically a destruction of Torah. It was a breach in the Masorah. Now it happens to be we observe that in Tisha B'Av also. But Magen Avraham writes that they made Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas a time to commemorate that as well. So it is a little bit difficult to understand exactly. You understand on the one hand that Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe are saying that Tisha B'Av is really about all communal suffering, but the kashas of Tach V'Tat and all the other fast days and other things that have happened, which people did react, and Gedolei Yisrael did react with separate days, it's hard to really answer with one clear answer why it should be different. Meaning why we should stay away from having something like a Yom HaShoah. But anyway, that was the opinion of the Gedolei Yisrael at the time, at least, Rav Moshe, at least the Gedolei Yisrael in America, Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik. Okay, now what I wanted to do just for the last few minutes is to take a sampling of tshuvos from the Sefer Shalos Tshuvos Mimamakim. Now, I didn't have a chance to include it in your packets, the tshuvos from Shalos Tshuvos Mimamakim. I'll just read you a sample of a tshuva. So he says, this is from Chelek Gimel Simen Gimel, I think the one I'm going to read you. Chelek Beis Simen Gimel. In Shalos Tshuvos Mimamakim, which again, as I told you, is Rav Ashri, who lived through it and saw Jews of incredible faith ask him harrowing questions. So he says, "Vayihi ba'or liyom chaf hei Menachem Av shnas Tavshin Aleph." He says, "It happened to have been the 25th day of Menachem Av in the year Tavshin Aleph." Vani Yoshev beveis Hashem beveis Midrashi kloy zabi Yecheskel beslabadka. He says, "I was sitting in my beis medrash in the Abi Yecheskel shul in Slabadka." Umarbitz Torah berabim vechaverim makshivim lekoli, and I was being marbitz Torah to people who were interested. Minichbadei ha'eda sheyisi noig laharosam es darkei Hashem, great honorable people who I would always teach them lanchosam baruch mishra meozam itamid, who I would always set on the right path. Va'az biyemei haroa alalu kishetzareinu va'ayvenu kamu aleinu lamelchama lashmidenu mitachashmei Hashem, and during those days when our enemies came to destroy us. Ubau mayim al rashenu va'amarnu nigzarnu kishashavas meyitanu kol masus ukshebare lita uvchutzos hagetu nadam kol simcha v'lo nishma kol mitzalos. And when no joy was left in the ghetto and they took away any chance of happiness, ki echacha nuchal v'reinu bara asher matza es amenu, how could we possibly be happy seeing the horrifying things that befell Klal Yisrael? Ve'echacha nuchal v'reinu ba'avdan arze alvano nadirei atore bidei atzar. And how could we possibly celebrate seeing the downfall of so many gedolei Yisrael? But he says, you should know, in our little ghetto, in Slobodka, in the Abi Yecheskel Klois, you know, we didn't stop learning. We continue to learn. And granted, deep down, our hearts were crying. Because look what was going on all around, it was utter destruction. But we still wanted to come close to Hashem, that Hashem shouldn't leave us. And we got together and we learned, etc. So what happened? What's the Shaila? So he says in the next paragraph, so there at B'Shifti B'Veis Hashem, I was sitting there in the Beis Medrash, and I was saying my shir, Nishma pit'om kol tzavcha v'za'aka. All of a sudden we heard a shriek, a cry, kol yilala choderes chadre vaten, a piercing cry that just gets down to your kishkas because it was so frightening. Mipi kalaso shel echad me'ayoshvim hakvum ayudei shulchan yilil mataras Hashem. And it was apparently the daughter-in-law of one of the attendees of the shir who let out this cry. Harav Rav Zalman Shor Hashem Yinkom Damo. That was his name. He is part of the Beis HaMedrash who called Bechi V'Nehi Sipra Shar Garmanim Yomach Shemam Hotziu Ze Atal Arugaz Baila. She came into the Beis HaMedrash screaming that the Nazis had just taken her husband to kill him. B'no Shel had Rav Rav Zalman Anal, and that was the son of Rav Zalman. B'yachadim Shloshos Banav, together with his three sons, B'neha, her sons. And that's why she's shrieking. Her husband and her three sons have just been taken to be killed. Va'ati hi nishra shkula mibayla umibaneo biyomechad. Now here she's going to be missing her to her husband and her children all in one day. Od hi mintaberes mukonenes v'inechameha b'shamos kol atzaka mipi kalaso v'yipol me'ala kisei achoranes ki achzau ha'shevetz v'yamos. Unbelievable, he says. The Shver hears what's happening to his own children and grandchildren. He's an elderly gentleman, apparently. He's so shocked by what he hears, he falls backwards on his chair, cracks his skull, and he dies. Right there on the spot. Very similar to stories in Tanakh, of course, right? With Eli, the Kohen Gadol, right? What do we know? That when his children, Chafni and Pinchas, didn't make it back from war, and he was told that they didn't make it back from war, so he was very upset. Then he was told that the Aron didn't make it back from war. The Plishtim captured the Aron. He falls over on his chair at the age of 98, and he dies. So this is what happens to this man. So what's the Shaila? Right? Still no Shaila. The Gabbai shel Chevra Kadisha haya Oz Reb Chaim Moshe Kaplan, Hashem Yinkum Damo. The Gabbai of the Chevra Kadisha was this guy, Reb Chaim Moshe Kaplan, which, by the way, my father told me that he was talking to one of his clients who serves on the Chevra Kadisha somewhere. I'm not sure which Chevra, but he said that the guy told him that whenever they do a Tahara, so they always keep their mouths shut. They don't talk when they do a Tahara. They just motion, whatever. You're not supposed to talk when you do a Tahara. But there's only one word that they ever say when they do a Tahara. He said in this Chevra that they see, when they see numbers on someone's arm, they say he has a visa. That's what they call it, a visa, a passport. And that's he's got the ticket. There's no question where he's going. Lachamei Avashin. So anyway, the Gabe, the Chevra Chadish in this story, Allah Hayimutal the Sadr Salavaya Kidinu Khadas Kaminuk Bray Swam Mikdemistana. So someone dies, Chevra Chadish springs into action. They were busy in the ghetto, right? This speaker told us today in the Covenant Ghetto, what was it? I think in 3.5 years they started with 30,000. 3.5 years later, when they emptied out the ghetto, there were 6,000 left. Something like that. You think the ghetto, at least it's not the camps. It wasn't a picnic in the ghetto. Vinehu baldefamai v'sheila b'piv. And here was the shaila. Heyoshen eschatu b'achronah gzeros hakashal atzorim gamal achayim gamal amesim. Since the gzeros are not only on the live people, on the dead people also, meaning the Nazis will stop at nothing. V'yefshel das masai yefshel esadres levaya l'kvaras ames. Who knows if they'll ever even allow us to do a proper kavura? Will at least take a couple of days. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? And people are being killed so quickly. We don't even know if we're going to have people tomorrow to do the Tara. Today, we have people who can do the Tara. The Levaya is for sure not going to happen for another couple of days. Just to get it done without risking our life, it's just not going to happen. But the Tahara, if we push it off, it may never happen. Because people may not be available. People might be gone by then. And right now, who just died? One of the people that was attending the Shir. So who's present in the Beis Medrash? His own friends, the people he learned Torah with every day, the people who he would want involved in his Tahara. So they're the ones that should really do the chesed shel emes. And they should do the tar right now. Right now, here in the shiur room. Right where he used to learn. And his neshama went up b'tara. And that's a fantastic segula. So what's he asking? What's the problem? Normally the Tara has to be right before the Kfura. So can we be makdim the Tara for such a shaila? Again, the answers are much less important than the shailas. But these are the kinds of shailas that they asked. And Rav Ashri did a great service to Klal Yisrael and to future generations by allowing us that insight, that window into the world of the Kovna Ghetto and the suffering that the people had. We should be zochet for our own limurah Torah and our own being mechazik ourselves in Torah, avoda, and gemilas chasadim in every area of Jewish life. That our Kodesh Baruch Hu should mirtz Hashem bring a geula with a binyan bayis shlishi, where we should really have no more tzara and nothing, and all the fast days and Tisha B'Av included should be days of sasun and simcha.